Hi, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another great time right here on the radio. And we want to talk about what is happening in Jos. You know, we've been hearing a lot of attacks, a lot of killings and all of that, which is quite very sad. And I've got somebody here, you know, resident of that area, Chi. And she will give us a chronological account of what really happened, how this fight had been going. And she's also going to talk about, you know, this recent attacks in yesterday in Magu local government and the likes. Great to have you, Chi. Can you just, you know, give us an historical perspective? How long has this been on for?
Okay. Hi. Great to be here. So the first ever situation that happened, I think, in Plateau State started 2001, September 7th, and that was completely religious. It was completely religious. It was a Christian Muslim thing, and that just kept going on and on over the years. We've seen repeats of that. I think right now you go to Plateau State, it's pretty much divided. There are areas that are Christian dominated and there are areas that are Muslim dominated. But I think from, say, 2015, 2017, it started becoming ethnic slash religious in a way. So villages are being attacked. Sometimes they would say unknown gunmen, sometimes they would say Fulani herdsmen. So we started hearing about the herdsmen, farmer herder crisis. That was what it was tagged. But when you look deeper into it, you start to see that it looks sort of it looks like an ethnic cleansing. A village is brought down, an entire village is killed, houses are being burnt down. Mass burials are happening, and nobody's going back into those villages to rebuild them.
Can you mention some of those villages that people have left and nobody has gone back because of this?
There are villages. I know some local governments that have been affected. The villages, like the names of the villages exactly, I can't off the top of my head get, but of course it's something I can reach out for. I know Riom local government has suffered this, Barkin Ladi local government has suffered this, Miango has suffered this as well. There are Miango is, and now the funny thing is Miango is not very far from the Rukuba barracks. There's an army barrack that is not very far from there, but there has been repeated attacks in these places. In fact, there was a time that there was an attack in Jos South local government. It was not far from, it's like a 30 minutes drive away from the government house. That's how close to town they got. And that was, I think, before COVID, shortly before or after COVID. That was when that happened. So you keep having these attacks. I was privy to an interview that was carried out by one of these NGOs when they went to talk to, you know, some of the people that live in these villages. And in the interview, one of the people said, if you have a, if according to their doctrines, that's one of the quote and unquote Fulani people, according to their doctrines, if a place is raided and you burn down a house, nobody rebuilds it. Because one of the complaints that the villagers gave was, if you go back and you rebuild these places, they come back and they kill people to pursue them out of there again. So these are the issues that have been bedeviling Plateau State. Recently, it's not even these. If you remember, I mentioned Riom, Barkin Ladi, Miango, and Jos South. These places are not being attacked as much now. It's Magu local government. And that begs the question, what is it about? Considering that the current governor, the governor that just came in now, Caleb Mutfwang, he's a member of the PDP, and he's the current sitting governor, and he's from Magu local government. Now different villages are being attacked in Magu. Do you get it?
Yeah, I get it.
He's local government, and he's doing the same thing that the past administration did, which is always, they're always enforcing 24 hours curfew, and that's it.
But why do you think the 24-hour curfew is not working? Because you said the past administration enforced 24-hour curfew, but it's not working. What do you think is the case?
I feel like they are not addressing the issue that is at hand. People are in their beds sleeping, and they are getting killed. And instead of you to, I mean, these people are not spirits. The people attacking are not spirits. I believe you can actually, they can gather intelligence, find out who these people are, arrest them or something, gather them, punish them. One of the things that happens is you see a group of people who attack a village, they'll come and arrest them. After a while, you see them moving around in the community. Nobody is being punished per se.
Okay, so the people now, the people that attack people are also in the communities?
Absolutely. For example, Berke Ladi local government, which happens to be not very far from where I used to live for a period of time. I was working on a project around there in Berke Ladi. These people kind of live together. The Fulanis have what they are settlements. They call them Ruga. So the Ruga is a little further into the bush, right? Then these farmers are a little out, and you have their farms. Of course, farms are like bushes, right? Farm is not inside the settlements. So they know themselves. If an attack happened, you know who did it. It's not something that is rocket science. And they report, you'd see the security operatives will come, they'll mount their trucks, people will be carried, they'll take them. After a while, they're back. So people lose hope. Now, back to the 24-hour curfew thing. You impose a curfew. We've had several times, not once, not twice. You impose a curfew. During the curfew, these people have been attacked. During the curfew, because now they cannot go anywhere.
And the security forces do not fight back during the curfew. So why is it a curfew then?
Exactly. One of the places I forgot to mention is Dong. Dong is a village that is not far from the wildlife park, the Jos Wildlife Park. I think that's the major landmark. It's not far from the Jos Wildlife Park. It's not far from the ITF headquarters. And that village was attacked a number of times. And we had people come out to say, now, this is not very verified. It's not something that we are sure of. We don't know if it's heresy. But people said they saw army trucks packed, but the army wasn't doing anything. But they weren't doing it while the attacks were happening.
But we can't verify that, so
we cannot verify that
happened. Also, another thing I'd like to ask you is, you also talked about the fact that there's now an increase in IDP camps and internally displaced people that you even have to give them some of your clothing. Tell us about that. Because when we talk about IDP camps, a lot of people don't talk about just as having IDP camps.
Oh, there are IDP camps. In fact, it will interest you to know that people that have been displaced since after COVID, when attacks were serious in Riom, places like Riom and Bassa and Berke Ladi, most of them are still in these camps.
Where are these camps?
In Mangu, now that's some of them came into just south. There are different places. There are different locations where they gathered. I've visited a few of them. There are different institutions that open their doors for them to stay in, churches and all of that. Now, in Mangu local government, people that have been attacked have been displaced. Some of them are staying in churches. Some of them are staying in schools. And these places have been converted into IDP camps. So people are now within Jos, which is the capital of Plateau State. People within Jos, people in Mangu, the town of Mangu local government, are putting together resources to assist the people that have been displaced. I'm talking clothing, sanitary towels, food items, just relief materials, just to assist these people that have been displaced.
And like, how many of these IDP camps do you now have in Plateau State?
I can't give an exact number, but I know that there are more than 10. I can't give an exact number. People are being displaced on a daily. and they are running to these camps.
When did this attack on Mangu local government, when did this emphasis start on Mangu?
After the election. Shortly after the inauguration. Shortly after Mutwang's inauguration. Then they began.
So
we started seeing it. It was like, oh, one village was attacked in the night. And, you know, I don't know why this is common in Nigeria. When there's one attack, not so much is being done. Until it repeats itself. Then we are now starting to try to make noise about it. And still not enough attention is being brought to the sufferings of the people of Plateau State, especially Mangu local government as it stands right now.
So there was so since then, how many attacks have you had since inauguration, which is May 29, which is about going to 41 days ago? How many attacks have you heard on that Mangu?
I have personally, I think I've heard about 4 attacks.
Okay, can you take me through those attacks, please? The 4 attacks you've heard.
I know that there's one in the one that happened yesterday was in Ferenkasa.
Okay.
And in Sabongeri.
Okay.
And 12 people were killed.
Okay, tell me about that one. What did you hear happen in Ferenkasa and the Sabongeri that led to the death of 12 people?
Okay, so sorry, I said 4. What I can see is a total of 204 people have been killed in 53 attacks that have been carried out. What I am not, and the attacks started since April 2023.
Okay.
Yes.
So April, that was before inauguration.
That was before the inauguration. Sorry, okay. Let me just correct that right there. I just confirmed that.
Okay, so that was before the inauguration. So tell me about this attack that happened that led to the death of 12 people.
Yesterday, we heard that the people in Ferenkasa, just like most of the other attacks, were in their houses, and they just came on them. Literally, they are calling them cattle breeders. That's what they are calling them. Cattle breeders attacked them and just started lynching most of them.
Was it lynching or shooting?
Well, what I got was lynching. I didn't hear of shooting.
So they came with clubs and machetes or what?
And machetes, yes.
And there was no police to repel. There was no, you know, security or military force. And what's normally the response time from what you gather on ground? What's normally the response time when a certain area is attacked for security forces to come around?
Okay, so usually you hear about an attack like the one that happened in Dong. I used to live not very far from Dong. We would hear the shootings when it happened in Dong. You'd be in your house, you'd hear shootings from a distance. And then shootings would die down. You're talking 2 hours, 3 hours later, you start hearing siren passing to go there. It's not quick. It's not fast. I think that is why you would have people not having faith in the Nigerian army or in the military anymore.
So some of the attacks, they also shoot, right? The attackers also come with guns.
Absolutely. There are attacks where you hear reports of people hearing gunshots. I've personally heard gunshots on some of the attacks. I've personally attended a mass burial in Riom local government. That was post-COVID. I think that was 2021. I attended that, and you would see bodies of people that have been lynched with machetes. You know that they were attacked. When you go to IDP camps, when you go to hospitals, you see people with injuries from both gun injuries and bullet wounds and you know, sharp
like the mass burial you attended. How many people passed, and what was like the reaction of a lot of people during the mass burial?
Oh, it was very sad. It's something I'm never going to forget for the rest of my life. I would always remember the mood. I would always remember the smell. It was terrifying. People were grieving. I've never seen grief that profound. I've never experienced that much grief. I was supposed to interview a woman that had her entire family, sons, her four sons and her husband were killed, and she was locked in the room with their corpses. And until security operatives came in that with them, and she was just there. She couldn't talk to anyone for a very long time, and then she just there wailing. It was absolute sadness. It's something I'm never going to forget for the rest of my days. Even after we left the local government, returned back into town, the mood, the entire state was sad and just sober. And it's very, I think it's more painful that we haven't seen anything be done in this long to the people that did that. And we still have more coming up, like what is happening in Mangu now. Before now, Mangu hasn't dealt with these type of things before.
During
It would
COVID,
usually be in Birom land.
during COVID,
Yes.
were there attacks going on during COVID?
I can't remember if during the COVID there were attacks because I didn't spend the COVID in Jos.
Okay. Another question I would like to ask is this. How many local governments are in Jos, and how many local governments have been targeted thus far?
There are 17 local governments in Jos.
I mean, in Plateau State, beg your pardon.
In Plateau State, rather, there are 17 local governments in Plateau State. The number of local government that have been attacked by this ethnic issues and what have you, I think I can't. I need to count, and I might miss a few.
Okay.
I don't want, I might miss a few, and I might end up calling out some districts as local governments. For example, now I know that Dong is not a local government. I know it's a district.
Okay.
Miango is a local government. Riom is a local government. Barkin-Ladi is a local government. Jos South is a local government. Mangu now is a local government. I do know that it's more or less like an ethnic cleansing on Biroms. That was what it was. And there are several local governments that is Birom land. So basically, they were focusing on the Biroms and the Miangos. That's the Irigoyes. And then it shifted from that to now the Mugavules, which are the people in Mangu local government. That's the name of the tribe in Mangu local government.
So, is it a specific target across these three tribes, the Birom people, the Irigoyes, and all of that? But can you also talk me
At
through
first, it seemed.
the case of that Irigoyes massacre that they said they were reprisal killings by the Irigoyes? Can you talk me through that conundrum too?
I don't have the details about
Okay.
the Irigoyes situation. I was mostly around the Biroms. Like I said,
Okay.
I was privy to this information because I worked very close to in Barkin local government, Barkin Ladi local government. So the Irigoyes are on the other side of town, and I wasn't very close
Okay.
to that.
Okay.
Yes,
Okay.
but I know that at first when this attack started, it seemed like it was an attack on the Biroms. That's what it looked like because it was one Birom village to another Birom village, right? And when you get into talks with these people, you find out that the local Fulani people will tell you that, they are also natives because they were born there, they were bred there, and that their cattles were being attacked. That's what they will tell you, and that they are. It's they are attacking because their cattle were attacked. That's what you would hear. But it just happened to be a lot in Birom land.
Where the cattle of the Fulanis attacked, that you know of?
From there, we've seen videos, yes. We've seen videos where a Fulani man wakes up and all his cows are on the ground. To be fair, yes, we've seen videos. But what we don't know is if that happened before or after villages were attacked. We don't know if it's the village, if it's a response of some sort, or if it started the entire thing.
Okay.
So there have been arguments about that, because when you go in and you talk to these people, you find everybody is trying to defend their own side. Everybody has their own defense. We've seen videos where, and the Fulanis will tell you that, these people come and poison the grass that our cows eat, and they eat it and they die. And these are source of livelihood. And some of the villagers will say, no, we put the poison on our plants, in our farms. So if your cows die, it's because your cows were in our farms, as opposed to them being, in the bush. They were eating our crops. So it's a lot of, I don't think we've gotten to the bottom of the real cause.
Okay. Do all of this ever come into town? Like, does it ever get to other parts of Jos, like British America, like areas within Jos town itself?
Oh no. All of that happened when unrest came to Plateau State early. So that would be from September 2001 to like 2015, when there were religious crises. Religious crises happened at a time within the town, and all of those when there were bomb blasts here and there. But,
So this one is just outside now.
This one is the villages.
The villages.
It's the villages. And it's usually the far villages. It doesn't come into, every local government has like their town, the town of the local government. That's like the capital.
Yeah, the local government. Correct. The local government headquarters, yes.
Exactly. So it hardly comes into civilization. It's usually in the villages, the core villages, and you wonder what the mindset is about.
Okay, so now, like this one happening in Manga, what's like the local government headquarters of Manga, local government?
It's Mangu itself.
Mangu
Town.
So this one did not happen in Mangu Town. It happened where?
No, it happened in different villages in Mangu. What's it called now? Like I mentioned, the one that happened yesterday happened in Ferinkasa and in Sabongari, I think.
So how far is Ferinkasa to Mangu, for instance?
They are not all very far from each other. How do I explain that now? Mangu is pretty big, if I'm being honest. I've been to Mangu Town. I've been to Gindri in Mangu. In fact, I've lived in Mangu for 2 years, but I was a lot younger when that happened. But I do know that Ferinkasa, Kerana and Sabongari communities, they are not very far off. Let's say a good 30, 45 minutes drive.
So a good 35 minutes drive for Mangu. So obviously the security agents and the police, nearest police post will be 30 minutes away from the attacks, right?
Possibly, yes.
Yeah, so, okay. So, and the road is like, you could make it in 30 minutes, because a lot of people are wondering why didn't they, even if they alerted, what's the quick response time? Because, and do you think they have like any alert mechanism that when an attack happens, what are the quickest forms of alert to be able to alert the authorities? Is are the phone numbers of military or police officers readily available to citizens in Jos to be able to call when the attack happens in Mangu and other areas? What do you think about that?
I don't know if there are. I know that when this was happening in Riom, there were numbers that were put out, by the STF and all of that. As for the one in Mangu, I have not heard that there is a way to alert security operatives. I do know that there is presence of the military, but how effective the presence is what I doubt. Because if they are effective, we shouldn't be having more attacks happening.
Okay. So, and I mean, we first spoke about this issue yesterday. We're talking about the previous attack. 12 people gone now.
Yes.
A lot of people are saying, do you think this might also be political? You know, because.
Oh, absolutely. I am of the opinion that it has been politicized.
Okay.
I think maybe it started out as a disagreement between Fulanis, cattle rearers and farmers. I think it started out like that. That's my personal opinion. But I think at some point, politics started to play. The controversy, I think that's the controversy here is going to be that some people would say Plateau State voted for against the ruling that's the APC, right? Lalong, former Governor Simon Bako Lalong was the DG of the campaign, the campaign DG of the APC, and Plateau State did not in any way vote the APC. In fact, Labour Party won in Plateau State, presidential level. PDP won governor at the level of the gubernatorial, the governorship seat, right?
Yes.
And how is it that the local government of what are the odds that it is the local government of the person that won the election that is being attacked?
So you think that
Prior to now,
there were no attacks on Mangu?
Mangu is cool. People go to Mangu. You can just take a drive to Mangu Town. It's like the second other town besides Jos that you could just go chilling. If you want to like go hang out with your friends, you drive from Jos. It's like a 1 hour, 30 minute drive from Jos City to Mangu, and you just go and chill, spend your weekend, drive back. The weather is beautiful. They farm very nice potatoes and, stuff.
So with all of this now, how is the livelihood of these people in the beautiful plateau now?
I mean, I'm just going to quickly. I read this morning. Villages have been deserted. That means the people that have deserted these villages are either in IDP camps or they've come into town to look for their family members to stay with. The economy of the country is by far comfortable for the regular average Nigerian that doesn't have to deal with this. Now, with the hardship that Nigerians are going through, imagine how it's going to be
Yeah, for them.
if your source of livelihood is
So,
being taken away from you.
do you think the potato farmers can still farm their potatoes? Because you said they plant really good
I
potatoes in
was just
Mango.
about to say that these people are farmers. Mangu local government has they produce they are one of the largest producing local potato producing local government. They produce. They are one of the local government that produce the most potatoes in Plateau State. Irish potatoes, that is. I think followed by Bokkos. Bokkos was already attacked a few years ago. People lost farms. They've not gotten it back till now. That was last year. Now, Mangu is being attacked. This is not going to affect only the people in these villages. It's going to affect all of us. Because now, potato and beans and maize is going to become expensive. I'm calling the major things that they farm there. It's going to become more expensive because it has become scarce. Adding to this is like an ad artificial hardship, artificial scarcity that is being caused by this I don't want to call it insurgency, by this wickedness,
pure
wickedness. And then it's increasing the hardship on the common Nigerian.
Okay, let's also now look at this and look forward. You know, do you think actually that the state can actually sort out this problem if we want to? Is it that these people are so powerful that we can't, you know, put them out and defeat them? What do you think the state can do to be able to quell this once and for all? This farmer heather clash, you should be able to identify.
Yes, I don't think this is that big that the Nigerian government, I don't believe it, that the Plateau State government cannot handle. There was a time that Dr. Jonah David Jang was the governor of Plateau State. That was the administration before Simon Bakola Long. Plateau State had its woes, but it was not this. And I don't think that these things did not start, but they were tackled. These people can go back.
Are you talking about the people that have been displaced?
And ask at the time. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Okay. What can we do? What did you do? Who do we call? Who do we sit down? How do we settle this thing? Why are we? They just need to ask.
So we
if it had not before, Baba, how did you do it? And how do we do it now?
Because you're saying under Jonah Jang, things were a whole lot better. So we.
Absolutely, absolutely. And no, it's not, because I'm not saying this because, you know, in Nigeria, we've never had a better tomorrow. It's very sad. It's always like, oh, it was better the last time. But yes, things were better. Yes, there were Boko Haram attacks, but that was external. Those were external factors. I don't know if you get where I'm coming from.
Yes.
Those were external things people had to deal. This one is inside. Somebody that yours. When I was growing up, we used to go to the Ruga. Growing up as a young girl, I had friends that are Fulani. I dare not walk into a Ruga now. There are neighborhoods I can't visit. In fact, go to Plateau State now, in Jos City Center. Stop a tricycle and say, if it's a Muslim tricycle man, tell him you are going to a Christian-dominated area. He won't take you there. How did we get there? It wasn't this bad. It can be fixed if they want to fix it. But I feel like some powerful people are benefiting off of this, and that is why they don't want to let it go.
So it's just about these people be willing to bring peace back to Jos. Because at first, like you said, there was a lot of peace. There was a lot of tranquility. People lived together. You have memories of growing up and having friends that were full of knees.
If I had a chance,
hello.
The one with the fan. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
I said I remember we used to go and buy Kindermo, not Nono. Kindermo is the raw cow milk. The one they haven't removed the fat off of. And my mom would take out the fat and make our dad's cheese for us to eat. And we would take, and Mari, I would go and collect it. I mean, I was less than 10 years old. And I would walk, and I would go in there, and I would come back with my friend and would stay in my house. It was normal. And I'm not that old. I'm not even 30 yet. So it wasn't so long ago. If they could fix that, where did we get it wrong? I think it can be done. And for people like me, that I'm really, I love Plateau State so much. I grew up there. I love Plateau State so much. It hurts us that a place you love so much is just being torn into bits because of some kind of greed.
Chi Alexi, a very big thank you to you for your time. And, you know, I can feel in the passion in your voice. And, you know, we pray healing and reconciliation will truly come to the plateau once again. Now, we'll keep talking about this. And please, I'll need you on this, you know, to help analyze and give perspective. And I'm sure this is going to go to all of our listeners all over the world on this platform. Thank you so much for your time. Bless you.
Thank you.